Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In small towns and big cities throughout our country, thousands of people are starting over. They're refugees who have made it out of Afghanistan. The Department of Homeland Security estimates about 49,000 have arrived so far with nothing more than the clothes on their backs. The vast majority of them are being housed at 8 military bases across the country. And this week, President Biden began notifying governors of how many refugees will arrive in their states. And many more, as we know, are still waiting to get out of Afghanistan. Those are the people Wahidullah Asghari is thinking about. Because this time last year, he was one of them.
I was at risk. I was thinking that, so if I do not go to the United States, maybe one day the U.S. troops will leave Afghanistan, and what are we trying to do? Maybe the same thing as it happened right now with everyone in Afghanistan.
For several years, Asghari was a translator for the U.S. government. In 2019, he applied for a special immigrant visa and boarded a plane for the U.S. as his wife stayed behind to wrap up their lives in Afghanistan. That meant Asghari had to travel on his own with four children in tow, including a baby boy named Miraj, who was just 1 year old.
It was a challenging time for me. It was really tough to handle all the kids. You know, they have a lot of responsibilities with the doctor and appointments and the school things, all these stuff, right?
You have to change it. Okay, how is it now?
I met up with Asghari on a sunny afternoon at his apartment in Burbank, California. The kids had just gotten out of school, and it's a new and exciting routine for them. Last school year, without knowing any English, they attended virtual classes. Six-year-old Mudassar was eager to watch some TV. Asghari's wife was trying to get their youngest down for a nap, and the twins, 9-year-old Musawer and Mina, were eager to play. Here's Mina.
I like to play hide and seek or tag. Hide and seek and tag, and I like to play runner.
A typical uneventful day in the U.S. Exactly what Asghari says he's been dreaming about for his children.
Their future is really bright. As I talk to them there, so maybe one will be a doctor, one will be an engineer, and one will be a teacher, right? Any profession they like.
But it's sometimes hard to focus on their future. He spends most of his nights on the phone with his mother and father and his brother, all of whom are still in Afghanistan. They talk about all of the other Afghans who desperately want out but can't leave.
Each one of them, males and females, old and young, they are thinking about, we want to leave the country because of lack of security they might face, and their life is at risk. And they are thinking about just trying to go and live and start a new life, especially maybe in the United States or other countries.
Backpacks you see here, donated. We're going to be distributing those.
Mary Whitehill was one of the first to welcome Asghari and his children to America last year. As the founder of the nonprofit Mary's List, based in Eagle Rock, California, she's the person that greets refugees with a big smile and a welcome box in her arms.
And they're all brand new, really cute, on trend, bright, happy colors.
Inside of that box is a lot of stuff some of us take for granted, like how-to lists in both Farsi and English, which gives instructions on how to get a driver's license, how to register your kids for school, how to get a COVID-19 vaccine. And then there are the personal touches, like the letters. Lots and lots of welcome letters from people all over the country. Each box gets one.
How about this one? Hi, welcome to the United States. And by the way, this one has very intricate cut paper all over it. She says, welcome to the United States. It takes a lot to move somewhere from far, so you should be proud of yourselves. I hope you like your new home.
These are beautiful, and I'm sure it holds additional meaning for you because you get to see, you know, the experience that these folks are about to go through, where they came from and what they're about to experience here.
Absolutely. This is the human touch. So come on back. I'm going to show you this one.
Whitehill takes me back to her garage where there's a row of boxes waiting for a letter to be carefully placed on top. She wants to make certain the letter is the first thing the Afghan families see when they open the boxes.
If I wasn't wearing a mask, all you could see was my million-dollar smile. That's just the best part of this job. I get to see people at their best. I meet people who are in the mode of giving. And also, I meet people who are in the mode of being willing to make themselves vulnerable and make a new friend.
White Hill started this effort back in 2016 after a friend told her about a new family from Syria that needed a few basic things like a baby bouncer. This galvanized her to do more. And today, Miri's List is one of many the State Department calls on as part of a larger collective to help families resettle around the U.S. On the week that I met her, White Hill had a lot on her mind. She had just received a record number of referrals.
We are one organization. Mary's List is 5 years old, and although we have already helped 620 families in that 5 years who are living across 21 states nationally, that is nowhere near what the need is on a national scale, and certainly nowhere near even a drop in the bucket compared to what the global need is for support for people who are moving around the world fleeing violence and persecution and cannot return home.
White Hill actually sees the arrival of Afghan refugees as an opportunity for America to, in a way, start to heal itself from the political and social divides that have caused so much pain in our country. And she thinks that healing starts with simple acts of kindness.
Last week, I had a phone call with just the nicest guy. He's an Air Force commander here at the L.A. Air Force Base. And he said, I'd really like to write some welcome letters to your families with the other military families on our base. Is that something that we could do through your organization? And I said, absolutely, because that is how we form deep connections and bonds.
Wahidullah Asghari now works for Miri's List. It's the perfect job for now because he gets to teach what he knows, what it's like to start over.
If someone tries something, he can do it. But the families, including me, who came from Afghanistan, they came with nothing. They have got no money. They have got no clothing. They have got, you know, they are zero. Including me, I was, the first time, I was a little bit, you know, I was stressed out. What am I going to do right now over here? There's a big change. Can I run my life here? So these are the challenges we most face and are still facing. And we hope that it will be ended soon.
California is projected to take in about 5,200 Afghan refugees. That's more arrivals than any other state. Some of the resettlement efforts, however, according to the State Department, have been stalled by a measles outbreak at some military bases.